Last week, on Wednesday, June 24th, Mendocino County experienced a 5.6 magnitude earthquake. That in itself is, of course, far from unusual. But many residents, particularly in the Willits area, felt a strong jolt that set off car alarms and caused items to fall from walls and shelves in many homes. KMUD News wanted to learn more about this specific quake, along with the latest science on earthquake detection, and how the latest local science on earthquakes might better inform and warn the public during future earthquake events. We turned to two experts, Dr. Eric Riggs, Dean of the Cal Poly Humboldt College of Natural Resources and Sciences, and Dr. Jason Patton, an engineering geologist with the California Department of Conservation. Both are preeminent experts in the science of earthquakes, but more importantly, both experts we interviewed are working on current earthquake science that could have direct impacts for residents of our region. Dr. Jason Patton is part of a team that recently discovered a new fault line in southern Humboldt, and Dr. Eric Riggs is involved with research utilizing existing fiber optic cable installations as a new way to detect earthquakes. We'll first hear from Dr. Eric Riggs, who gave some insight into the latest major Mendocino earthquake and why those in the Willits area specifically felt the most notable impacts.
I mean, there's two pieces really to look for. There's the source, the earthquake itself, and then there's the site response, how the ground moves in response to the earthquake. So faults in that area, it looks like reading the data that is published by the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Program about that earthquake, it looks like it was a right lateral earthquake, where if you were standing on one side of the fault and you looked across the fault, if you could watch that move, it would have moved to the right. And so that generates energy that is directed, in this case, sort of southeast partially and northwest, and so from where the earthquake source is. And so Willits may have been sort of in the direction of motion and might have gotten an extra blast that way. Something similar happened with the earthquake a couple years ago in December that impacted Rio Del very intensely, but left Ferndale much less damaged. And that was really similar. You had some directivity to how the earthquake moved in the first place. I mean, it's a slippage of two rock masses sliding past each other. And so, just like any kind of system that generates some inertia, you're going to throw some energy in one direction preferentially over another, and that can impact anybody in the way. So that may have been a factor. The other factor that you have to layer in here is the actual situation of the town of Willits in the Willits Basin. There's a little flat basin there that is surrounded by hills everywhere, and so there's probably some sediment from the hills that has filled in that basin over time, and then the town was built on top of it. And that kind of sediment, can also trap water, is a little bit local groundwater and things. And it, from a seismic perspective, is pretty jiggly.
Dr. Eric Riggs of Cal Poly Humboldt then spoke of ongoing research into utilizing fiber optic cable systems as additional earthquake sensors, and how this could greatly benefit areas like California's North Coast that may not offer the same earthquake sensor coverage as other regions.
So if you think about what a fiber optic cable is, it's a bundle of very optically clear glass fibers along which you pass optical pulses, usually driven by lasers, and that carries information, carries voice, carries internet, at videos, banking information, you name it, right? Travels that way. And that's how the vast majority of data is transmitted around the planet long distance these days. The cool thing about that is if you leave one or two of those strands dark, you don't put any data on that, it's just the strand itself, then you can instead use that strand to shoot just a single dedicated laser down that and have a detector at the other end of a segment. And using travel time, you can very accurately measure the length of that particular piece of cable. The reason that matters from an earthquake perspective, if you think about what an earthquake wave is, I mean, it's a pulse of acoustic energy moving through the ground. I mean, it's a flexure, a very small one in, an elastic wave basically running through the rock material. And so anything embedded in the ground, like a cable, will also flex and change shape and length very subtly, but certainly subtly enough to be picked up by, enough distortion to be picked up very easily by a laser, and the interference patterns based on what you'd expect, this is what you get. And so scientists and seismologists have been working to decode that information and convert that into an understanding of what the seismic waves are doing. And as this technology has come into being really over the last, you know, probably 10 years, experimentally 5 years being deployed more, and then over the last couple of years here, it's really exciting because you start to see these fiber optic installations make tremendous seismometers in places where you never had them before. The cool thing about the fiber optic cables is that instead of just getting that one singular point's worth of information, you actually can watch the seismic wave interacting with this entire line of the seismic cable of the fiber optic cable. And so that gives you a really different kind of longitudinal information about, you can watch the seismic wave unfold and see how it's moving and evolving as it travels. And so seismologists, people who are really deep into understanding these waveforms, are just, you know, thrilled by the richness of data they can extract from this. And fiber optic cables are going in everywhere, right? And so it's an opportunity to extend seismic networks in places where we hadn't had them before.
That was Dr. Eric Riggs on exciting new research into utilizing fiber optic cable networks as additional earthquake sensors. Next, we'll turn to Dr. Jason Patton, an engineering geologist with the California Department of Conservation, who helped spearhead a team that recently discovered a new fault line in southern Humboldt in the Shively area. Using geodesy, the study of how the Earth deforms and changes over time, Dr. Patton was able to utilize existing knowledge of fault lines and topographic maps to find evidence of the new fault in the form of an escarpment. Dr. Jason Patton then applied for funding from the USGS Earthquake Hazards Program with collaborator Mark Hemphill Haley, an emeritus professor from Cal Poly Humboldt. They have since excavated a line perpendicular to the suspected fault and confirmed Dr. Jason Patton's theory of an existing fault line. Dr. Patton spoke to KMUD News on the geological importance and history of the newly discovered fault, along with its relationship to other earthquake fault lines in the region.
In this location, on one side of the fault, the terrace is about 8 meters or 8 yards higher than the terrace on the other side of the fault. So that terrace has been lifted up due to, we think, 4 earthquakes have pushed that terrace up 8 meters. And so once we know when those earthquakes happen, we can calculate basically how much the fault slips during each earthquake and the average time between earthquakes. And we do have an estimate. We think this terrace is about 20,000 years. And so we think we have evidence for four earthquakes in the last 20,000 years. The San Andreas Fault south of us, that's the plate boundary fault between the North America plate on the east and the Pacific plate on the west. And that fault has sibling faults that run parallel to it. There's the Myokama Fault and the Bartlett Springs Fault. These are other faults to the east of the San Andreas Fault. And so the San Andreas Fault, it accommodates a portion of the plate boundary motion. But some of that plate boundary motion is also accommodated on the sibling faults. And so the plate boundary, the San Andreas plate boundary, even though the fault stops just north of Shelter Cove, the plate boundary motion extends further north into the Humboldt Bay region and past the Humboldt Bay region. And we think that some of those strike slip faults end at these east-west. So those are north-south oriented faults. And we think that that plate boundary motion ends along these east-west trending faults through compression and convergence, and forming these thrust faults. And so this is one of those east-west trending faults that is accommodating that north-south compression from the San Andreas. And it looks like that it represents about 1/4 of the known faults north-south compression in the region. So it looks like it's the second most important fault after the Little Salmon Fault in the region.
That was Dr. Jason Patton on the newly discovered earthquake fault in the Shively area of southern Humboldt. The 5.6 magnitude earthquake in Mendocino last week was a good reminder of why the science behind earthquakes is important. Many residents received an alert to their phones during or just before the earthquake, and this ability to alert the public is in great part due to generations of geological research. Whether it's the potential to improve earthquake sensor networks via fiber optic cables or discovering exactly where our local fault lines are, this science helps us to understand why it's important to stay ready and prepared for future earthquakes. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis.